ray of cosmic revelation, sloshing through the mainstream like a comet of prophecy. You are listening to Planet Vrilok, your podcast for everything super psionics and magic tech. Welcome to my show, and I am your host, Dr. Vrilok. Well, tonight's podcast is called Psionics, Telluric Magic, and Earth Antennas. Contrary to popular belief, trees aren't just overly large plants that house birds and squirrels. Trees can do more than provide shade from the summer sunshine or enchant us with their haunting beauty. I'm going to talk about working psionics with trees in tonight's podcast. I'm also going to speak a little about something called telluric psionics, and I bet you're wondering what that is. So without further ado, let us begin. Author J.R.R. Tolkien, who wrote The Silmarillion, The Hobbit, and The Lord of the Rings, among other titles, was quite fond of trees. Mr. Tolkien would sit under a tree and smoke his pipe, taking in the joy that came to him from his environment in his homeland of England. You know, off subject here, but while I have been to London, the Wax Museum, one of the bigger museums there as well, I have stood outside of Stonehenge, and I've traveled around a little, but I have always wanted to experience a few days visiting Cambridge, you know, in the old countryside. And to this day, I never have done that. In any event, it is the beauty of the trees and rolling green hills that has my mind captivated, mesmerized by England's beauty. However, while in Japan, my wife and I hiked up the busy streets of Kyoto and arrived at the Golden Temple, high, high up. There were so many beautiful trees, I almost forgot the humidity in the air and the summer sun, that heat beating on the back of my neck and shoulders. You get this feeling of being sort of pulled down if you're not used to that type of heat and humidity, you know, layer upon layer. There's always been something rather magical in nature, and particularly in small brooks and ravines and dwarfed trees. In any event, one need not have access to this kind of pleasure and eye candy that nature so generously offers the would-be world traveler. I've lived in many apartments in my lifetime, and it was actually while living in an apartment in America when I first discovered the magic of trees. There was a special tree down on the lawn that I could see from my apartment's balcony. And by special, I don't mean that there was anything particularly pretty about this tree. However, I did sense something calling my attention to this tree. My faculties beyond sight and vision pulled my thoughts to this tree. So possibly, out of sheer curiosity, I spent some minutes meditating and thinking of this tree. I did this daily, or every so often. And I just sort of quieted my mind and thought of the tree down on the lawn outside of my balcony window. I would sit in my armchair and think of it. I could at length sense and almost feel the breeze moving the leaves on the high branches in this tree. And this gradual communion with the tree brought me a certain comfort. A comfort that I could not find anywhere else in the concrete of the city. So I did indeed make it a habit to observe this tree at least on a weekly basis. And, you know, take some time to calm my nerves after a long day at the manufacturing company where I had worked at the time. One time, I also began to sense other trees. And these trees These were trees that were not within my line of sight. I couldn't see them from my apartment window or my balcony, but I could feel them. I could detect by means of vibration and thought where other trees were touching the rays of the sun, even one where a bird's nest was being built, and events going on around these various trees and so on. Who might be walking by, a flickering image of a neighbor passing under a tree, and so on. And so I would at times go out for walks and pay attention, see if I could witness any evidence for the reality of these remote sensations I had been having earlier. And to my surprise, I did indeed see a bird nest being constructed in a tree that was in the general direction of where I'd felt it, remotely. Well, at least to the best of my memory, that is what happened. There were other subtle sensations which are far more difficult to describe, such as a realization that other minds were drifting or hovering about these trees on some occasions, that is, those entities residing in the realm of spirit or the invisible spectrum of reality. And I believed this. In fact, I am almost certain of it, because I tested my idea, my hypothesis, that if I could communicate with the trees in some way, in some manner, sense them, and get a response from the wind, I could also communicate with these entities. So I would ask them to stir up a breeze, and then exacerbate the air currents to make gust, and then dust devils, and then full-on roaring winds. And on many occasions, this did indeed manifest. Well, some years passed before I, at long last, left California to go live in Japan. And when I did at last arrive and reside in Japan, I began to practice similar meditation with trees and places I had visited around the lonely mountain shrines, cemeteries, and hidden gardens aloft hills, mountains, and nested in remote valleys. My wife and I enjoyed taking a trek out of the town where we lived, and usually by walking some hours' distance, and up into stone steps leading into remote parts of the mountains, just to see what we might discover or happen upon. And on other occasions, it was to visit the cemetery to clean the gravestones and show respect to the Japanese ancestry. Well, it is a custom for family to tend the graves of their loved ones and relatives, and to clean these gravestones, lighten incense, and bring flowers, and say some manner of prayers. And so we became very familiar with these surrounding mountains, and what they contained, and what resided in them. But it goes more than this, further, deeper. Later, back at my laboratory on the third floor of our little home office building, I began a pursuit of practicing a series of remote presence, remote viewing, and telepathy. As well, I was able to experience to some degree an animal empathy with the crows. Lots of crows in Japan, I must say, and I will note for the record here that crows perched near my body whenever I crossed the bridges to gaze into the waters of the river near our home, and I observed the rainbow of colors on wild koi fish shimmering under the beaming rays of the sun. Oh, it was altogether so lovely. Such a beautiful land, truly. I mean, it really is. So back to my laboratory. I began to understand that trees can indeed act as antennas. That is, antennas for my thoughts to be projected in a very unique way to the atmosphere. Now, of course, we can, using psionics, simply focus on atmospherics if we like, through our gadgetry or magical arrangements, but by conveying my thoughts through trees, I found the experience to be more fluid. And I am not entirely certain that I can explain this fluidness in mere words. I don't think that there are, or is, in existence any such words worthy of conveying my feeling and experience of the spirit of the land, the waters, the mountains, animals, and the trees. But it is the trees which I found most interesting and useful in the long term. Through trees, we can also influence weather events, and we can even stave off storms well in advance. Yes, my friends, you have assumed correctly if you guess that the Earth feels and is capable of receiving imagery from human minds. This is absolutely powerful magic, and it's very intimate. So with trees around, I often felt that during typhoon season, I was not alone, at least not in this, you know, pursuit of bending or dissipating typhoons or lifting typhoons so high up that they can't exist as a storm. No, indeed, I became one with the land of Japan, but over a period of 7 years of practice, of meditation, and focused concentration. So I was abroad on the mainland of Honshu for several years, as well as an attitude of giving this ability a chance to work, and it did, manifold. And it may be important to note that my pleasure of working with the natural forces of the earth via mentalism, empathy, visions, and telepathy has been of a magnitude, a level of pleasure immeasurable and unforgettable. I truly am grateful for these experiences, and I miss those wonderful days and evenings in Japan very greatly. In any event, I want to talk to you now about telluric forces. Psionics allows us to work with any aspect of reality which possesses, processes, or deals with information of any kind in some way. Telluric psionics is the pursuit of working with the energies of the earth, which does indeed contain information, and mainly with the deep areas of the earth where things like earthquakes and volcanic activities are involved. In my own pursuit of psionics at that time for mastering telluric energies, I found it important to be focused on healing the mantle under Japan after the Fukushima disaster. The big power plant meltdown, the waves crashing through the lands, and a quake which is believed to have severed the mantle under the mainland of Honshu. And during my meditation, I perceived lava flow, hot earth energies, telluric forces of power. And so I concentrated my occult focus on moving this energy to the mantle to do a sort of a natural soldering job, searing and seaming the two parts of the earth under Honshu, mending them back together. How far into this project I have achieved is unclear, but I have been awarded visions and visitations by a golden spirit. Some associate that image with angels, and with reassurance that a very good thing had manifested for Japan. I believe the real importance of this podcast tonight is to help us to reach out to you and help us review our current perceptions of our relationship to the earth upon which we live and where we live out the rest of our lives. Perhaps with a bit of consideration and time-honored art of meditation, we as a species may evolve over a period of weeks, months, and years into eventual super beings who share a symbiont, who share a oneness with the living earth, and from there we can move outward, or we can move onward, I should say, out into the stars with the infinite freedom that our minds and our souls allow for us. And that's, you know, that's one of my aims, is to expand consciousness into other things and, you know, flow with the force, as they say. I hope that you will join me in this trek to explore and reestablish our place on this planet as caretakers and guardians of the world and potentially masters of the universe. Thank you for joining me on Planet Verloc tonight, and until next time, as always, always keep the magic high. This is Doc Furlock, signing out.